And everyone gets a DS. It's like totally out of character for him. But yeah, so they're not above blatant product placement. And I like that they're not, because
do you think Nintendo actually paid them to say that?
No, but I mean, okay. they'll place product if you want. If someone gave them money, they'd do it, right?
Probably.
And the best part is they would do it in a blatant, obvious way where it would work perfectly for them.
See if this works.
Well, that's definitely getting that recording on there.
It's not going to what?
That's definitely getting that on there. Good morning, everybody. This is Sitsop.
And I'm Kyle Parker Hagen.
I'm Kendrick Benjamin Evans.
Benjamin Evans? What are you, fucking, like, an inventor and guy who created an almanac and stuff?
That does sound like my name, doesn't it?
Kind of.
Highball. Give us all that money. That's sweet, sweet money.
Oh, I'm so glad. Explode all over.
I know, for a second I was like, well, we're crashing this car.
And I just got the whole recorder. What would happen if we had a highball explode all over the recorder?
It would probably damage it. It would probably damage it a fair bit, because I bet you this stuff is fairly...
That's one of our Kickstarter goals.
We'll buy another microphone and destroy this one. You can have, I don't know, the microphone when we're done with it.
I always wondered, and if you can't tell, I'm a little sick, but...
I'm kind of right there, too.
If you, I always wondered... how you pitch one of those, like, YouTube destruction shows. You're like, look, I know that there's a lot of crap on YouTube, right? But I own a hydraulic pump or a hydraulic press.
Yeah.
And what I want you to do is give me really expensive stuff so I can break the shit out of it.
I don't know, like, who gives them stuff.
That's what I mean. Like, who would you be like...
Real quick, look at this. Now there's 3 Winnebagos here.
Dude, how many Winnebagos?
This is rapidly becoming like a gypsy caravan area, and that's bad for property value, but I could probably get some sweet cut cookware from that, you know?
Yeah, you could.
So anyway, yeah.
Or like a curse?
Yeah, that too. Maybe I can get that curse of my mom undone.
You can figure out what happened.
And then can undo it, maybe. Give them some beads and a sock, and we'll undo it.
That's the kind of shit that's going to get you a curse. Oh, assuming beads and socks is going to...
That's traditional gypsy. Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, yeah, so I thought that I was like, I wonder how those people get the shit. How do you constantly? Do you just buy it of your own money and then you write it off on taxes because it's a show or what?
Like, I don't know, but like the thing about tax write offs is you have to actually be making money for it to be worth something, right? Mm-hmm. So they're making money, mm-hmm. right? Like that's.
So that's what I figured out the other day. I was watching YouTube videos with Amy and. There was a guy talking
that
about...
That sounds like it should be a show in itself. YouTube videos with Amy.
Yeah, it could be. And he was talking about how YouTube changes policies for if you only get... You can only get paid for YouTube videos if you're over 10,000 views, lifetime views. And I was like, oh, okay. So you have to hit a certain number before people... They start putting ads in your videos. That's the number is like 10,000.
Fair.
And that I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Because if you get like... You know, 10,000 lifetime views, they'll start putting video like ads on your thing and start paying you, or start like you know asking you to
get the option
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. Just a FYI, anybody who is looking to get into that game.
Although I understand from listening to people who are YouTubers, and I've subscribed to quite a few YouTubers that are very open about the kind of stuff they do, and they say quite frankly they don't make piss money off of YouTube anymore.
Oh yeah, I mean,
in the last few years, it's gone downhill a lot. But we've also got a lot of other neat stuff in the last few years, like Patreon.
Yeah.
And I shell out a good amount of money on Patreon these days.
So one of my favorite podcasts decided to stop doing Patreon and start doing Kickstarter. And I was kind of interested in the decision there because they said they went from Patreon to doing Kickstarter because they wanted it to become more of like a full-time job. And I thought that was interesting because... Basically, if you kickstart high enough, you get your whole salary all at once, right? And if you Patreon, you're getting paid like a normal.
You're getting trickled. You're getting trickled money.
Yeah, like a normal person.
That does not make sense to me as a thing.
I think it's just because they can hit higher numbers with Kickstarter, and it's like it's the difference between saving to invest and investment now. So like a Kickstarter is like a high influx of cash.
Right.
And Patreon is like, keep me not having to work.
I guess that makes sense. I mean,
And I guess one of the things they're doing is starting a YouTube channel, so they wanted to get better recording equipment, blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's what it is.
Well, and if it's the push for equipment and stuff, that's where it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm, I, uh, I mean, the thing about Patreon that I like is, you know, you set stuff up on it, and I think a lot of people forget about it. You know, like, oh yeah, I'm giving them money, as opposed to Kickstarter, we have to go and every time you want money from people on Kickstarter, you have to
That's the kind of again. The part I thought about was interesting, because, like, if you get me hooked in Patreon, you basically are going to get money from me forever.
Forever, because right? I don't know but how to turn it off.
Because I don't know how to turn it off, yeah. If I do the Kickstarter, I'm like, I have to pay attention to when it starts, and I have to make sure I have the money when it ends. And
yeah.
To me, Kickstarters for the things I Patreon is really weird, because...
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Now, I can give you a nice hard example where this makes sense. I follow a sword nerd on YouTube. Mm-hmm. His name's Skelligrim?
Okay.
He's Danish, I think, and he's Canadian now, so he moved to Canada many years ago, but he's still got a really cool name. And that's actually his real name. And
Skelligrim?
Skelligrim? Skallagrim.
Okay.
And I guess that's his name. I couldn't tell you. Skull. They call him Skull. I'm sure it's a common name in Denmark. I'm not that sure. But he has a YouTube video where, I mean, he's kind of just a nerd, like a sword nerd, but he's also taking up like HEMA and
HEMA?
Historical European martial arts. Okay. The Canadian equivalent to the stuff that I do.
Okay.
Which is
RMA.
Or
just in general. RMG.
RMSG is the name of the place.
I had some of them, and they worked together.
HEMA is the Historical European Martial Arts. That's the generic catch-all term for it. And it's the European equivalent to the Asian martial arts, right? And so he's doing that stuff. So over the course of the last, like, 4 or 5 years, I've been watching him for maybe a year now, maybe. He's, like, transcended... in a lot of ways, from just a geek on Facebook to being sort of an authority figure, like in the YouTube sword nerd community.
Okay.
He's one of, like, the big 4 or 5 people that are pretty, I mean, he's not 100% legit. He's got his issues, but he's certainly not just the total geek nerd, like, this is a sword, and these are the swords that I have in my collection type kind of guy. He's a lot more thoughtful, analytical, and funny. And so... he's got a Patreon, and I think I kick him a couple bucks a month, just per month, I think. And so he's raking in. I mean, Patreon shows you how much people are making, and that's very rude of them because it doesn't show you how much their cut is.
It just shows you the total.
It just shows you the amount that people are paying them. So I mean, you're like, oh, he's raking in like $4,000 a month. Okay, yeah, but he's actually losing something like that. I think I'm close to $1,000
that's a Patreon. I was like, well, it's not like Patreon's responsibility to decide.
No, I know, but it's like, he's really netting like $1,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's good. I mean, it's good for him. I'm glad that he's netting $1,000. That means that's a sword a month, basically, if he spends it on that. I think he might actually make his living off of that. He has monetized YouTube, but it's piss poor. Like, he doesn't make much money on it at all.
And that's different than Patreon. That's like, that's like Google paying him click-through stuff, you know, I assume.
And actually, it's interesting. I found this out from someone talked about it. Because I don't know if they're supposed to talk about it, but some of them will anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have a YouTube Red account, right? I bought it when I got my YouTube Music account, and I don't know if they're still linked forever, but I got YouTube Music, and they threw in YouTube Red. And I don't know if they're still the same thing now, but I got it forever, apparently.
Because you get grandfathered into this weird shit.
Evidently. So I pay like $8 or $10 a month, and I get all my streaming music and YouTube Red, which means I don't see YouTube ads anymore.
Nice.
I haven't for a while, and I kind of forgot other people did. To start opening stuff up in tabs that weren't logged in and that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this experience sucks. But they don't, because you get a percentage of the ad revenue that they make, right? Well, YouTube Red, they're not making any ad revenue. So what do you get? Right.
I don't know.
Turns out you get, for YouTube Red people, you get paid based off of how long they were watching your show.
Oh, that's interesting, actually.
So if you...
But you have to be a YouTube Red show.
No. You just have to... YouTube Red users have a different payment scheme.
That is actually really cool.
And I don't know if that applies the same way.
I don't think it's still good, but it's really cool that they're doing it.
It's interesting because then, eventually, you know, one of the goals of YouTube, I think, is to get many, many people onto YouTube Red. And if YouTube Red is based less on
customers,
clicking through...
right? Like people watching videos.
Yes, yes,
gotcha.
Yes. Watching YouTube Red,
not
users,
like show,
not content creators. Content. I mean, they want content creators on YouTube Red as well, but I think they want people because the advertising model is good. But think about it: a subscription model like Hulu or Netflix, that shit's making them bank.
Oh yeah.
And they want to be in that.
It's
and they want a piece of that minimum of a pie. So they and they're positioning it pretty well. Like some of the, again, I should stop talking about the Geekrum so much, but I do watch them a lot. Dan and Aaron are doing a YouTube Red show.
Oh, really?
With Dan Harmon.
What?
Yes.
Okay, so like that. So you okay? I'm gonna talk. I thought we might be able to talk about Ghost in the Shell today and some United jokes, yeah, but we sounds like we got a whole conversation going on this YouTube thing. So carry on.
I guess we'll have to talk about Ghost in the Shell next in a week.
Yeah.
So I was just hearing them, and it's not officially. By the time this airs, it'll probably be out or at least announced or something. But yeah, they were just talking about it. It's like, yeah, we're doing this YouTube, you know, Red show, and they were this is where they were talking about some of the stuff. Like, they're not necessarily telling you to get YouTube Red, but it is nice.
I actually got YouTube Red for one of the shows. It's called Die PewDiePie, and it was like a scare tactics show. I specifically was like, I'm gonna pay $9 for 1 month to watch the show, so I could see it totally.
Well, and the other part about it, so the reason that I like this model is as a content creator, not even YouTube Red content creator, but as just a YouTube content creator. You're trying, right now, you're trying to get clickbait titles, right? You're trying to get people to click on your videos to get your view count up and to get people to click on ads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your goal. You get money based off the number of views and number of conversions, and there's this whole complex math thing, and some people try to game it.
That, too. But I see where you're going. Okay.
If you go to YouTube Red, your goal is to get people to watch your shows.
Yeah, exactly, because it's about quality content, and click through stuff or clicking stuff is frustrating because I can't. Oh my god, the clandestine meeting of construction workers.
Time they're heading by trucks.
It frustrates me sometimes because I'm like, I can't control if someone clicks on an ad. Like what I should be telling people to get money from our website is, if you go to Ethernet, please click one of the ads just because it gives us 1 cent or something like that. You know, like that would be something that I would say. I'm like, you know, if you really like our videos, watch them and tell your friends. That's what I should be saying to people instead of click my ads so I can.
The YouTube Red compensation scheme makes more sense because if people watch like all of your content, you make more money.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't watch all your content, you make less money.
Yeah.
If they get bored halfway through and wander off, you make less than if they watch the whole video.
Mm-hmm.
What does that make you want to do? Make compelling videos.
It gives you really good niches to do, too, because you can be like, I'm okay with being in the 5-minute video slot. Like,
people,
I know I'm only ever going to make this much money from every video, but people usually watch them, so I know it's a higher consistency rate.
So you can target your content, so I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
I'd like to see more on that.
And so, like, when you say Dan Harmon, I was thinking CISO, because I got to watch one of the episodes of Harmon Quest the other day on YouTube. And I was very impressed. Like, I want to get CISO so I can watch Harmon Quest.
I don't know what CISO is.
It's another, I don't honestly know what it is either, but it's something that, if you haven't seen it on Facebook being present, like, shoved in your face with ads is what I'm trying to say. There's a word for it, but I can't remember.
Inundated?
Promoted? There you go. One of those two.
Somewhere between those things.
But it's like another kind of digital media channel thing, yeah, and I don't know what it is, but I was like, same feeling when I saw that like PewDiePie show. I was like, I want to like, see what this is so I can go watch this Dan Harmon show, like,
right?
Because I
need to go back and watch Community even before it completely expires on me and gets way old. It's already a little late, but I guess it's really funny.
I think it's one that you can always go back to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just need to go back the first time. I'm very behind on my shows.
Oh man, you're a busy man. Busy world.
Too much shit in my plate. Why is there shit on my plate?
I'm excited. That excites me to hear that they're doing YouTube Red content.
No, I blew my fucking mind. And they're acting in it.
Oh, really?
It's a show. It's a written, produced show.
Wow.
And they said they didn't want to talk about the other actors because they probably weren't even supposed to be talking about it there, but...
Are they, like, a big part of the show, or are they just, like, kind of, like, side characters?
Two of the main characters, they said.
Oh, wow. With Dan Harmon, is he a director or just in the show?
He just said he was an... Okay. I think he said he's an executive producer, but, okay. I mean, when he's attached to a project, so far, it's been pretty much gold, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was an interesting... it's an interesting world that we're seeing how that media is coming together, because I have a feeling that some of these places are trying to get out of the ad business. Because, like, Netflix has not been not in the ad space. Hulu is still, but... Fuck Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu.
Just in principle.
That a juxtaposition right there, where, like, you're like, I always go to Netflix. Well, not the juxtaposition of what you just said is what I like about it. Because you always go to Netflix first, And then you're like, if I can't find it on Netflix, I guess I'll try Hulu. Right? Or like, maybe even, I guess I'll try to get a virus on my computer watching on some foreign like site, and then I'll go to Hulu where I have to watch ads, even if I pay for it.
Yeah, that part. But I think that it's interesting to see companies try things. And YouTube Red represents an interesting experiment, right?
Well, like PlayStation View or whatever it's called. Like, PlayStation has their own television service coming out.
Yeah.
And you can just, like, register if you have Plus or something like that. And you get a bunch of channels. They have movies coming out. I mean, one of the cool things PlayStation did a while ago was they took an old Brian Bendis comic called Powers, and they had a full-on, like, HBO-style produced television show for it that they released only for PlayStation. Like, the PlayStation Marketplace. And you can only watch it there. It was crazy, and people were like, this is nuts. How am I, like, I have to have a PlayStation to watch this shit? Like, it was kind of cool, because if you see, I mean, I don't know if you saw, maybe Microsoft is just involved in it in a different way, but I haven't really seen that kind of thing come from Xbox yet.
Xbox, I think, has not, Sony has Sony Pictures, and I wonder if that ties into it at all.
Oh, probably.
But they have some kind of connection.
Oh, you're right, because they did all the Spider-Man movies.
I'm not sure if it's the same people, but I feel like they could probably tap some talent out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft does not have a Microsoft media arm. I don't, well, they had some media players, but I don't think they ever actually had a media arm. Because Sony also had Sony Records. So, like, they've been present in sort of media creation.
And sometimes you kind of forget that when you're like, oh, they make a PlayStation. And you're like, no, right, they actually have a lot more.
They're a 70-year-old electronics company that's been kicking the can around for some time.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, of all of the main, it's weird how you think about it. Like, you've got Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, right? And the youngest of these is Microsoft. By a long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Sony's been around for, fuck, I don't even know. It's got to be at least the 70s. And I think it's older than that. It's a Japanese brand. I think Sony is an old Japanese
similar,
brand.
I think.
Well, no, Nintendo came from the 1880s, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
They were one of the oldest companies that's still
running. I want to hear more about that. Like, what?
Really? Okay.
What was that?
I gotta look. I don't know the exact day off the top of my head, but they used to make playing cards and toys.
Oh, no, you're right. Actually, so that's weird, because you can get, like, when you are part of these, like, weird communities, like, you have, like, a Nintendo, like, a My Nintendo account like, a GameStop PowerUp account, you get points for buying the games and registering them, and you can get enough points to get things, and one of the things they sell on the Nintendo site is, like, a little deck of old-style playing card things, and I was like,
and those are probably reproductions of their original reprints. Huh. And so they made toys. I think they might have made weapons at one point. I mean, and they're also fucking hella diversified.
No.
There's a taxi service that Nintendo runs.
I remember did we talk about this before in the podcast?
Possibly.
Because I remember hearing this story where, like, it's like, it was like his son's weird idea or someone's weird idea that ended up.
They're the video games.
Being the video game system.
Yeah. They did some bizarre stuff way before that, and they didn't get into video games until, like, I mean, they were around for almost 100 years, and then they said, oh, let's give these video game things a shot. My son's really hot on them, I guess. And then, boom. And Nintendo also enjoys a very unusual spot, at least they did a few years ago. I haven't read into them recently. I used to be a huge Nintendo fanboy, and I've kind of just been busy. Did you know it's 2017 now?
Is it?
Yeah, it just keeps going. The numbers just keep going up.
Time.
Fucking time, man. But at least back in 2012, I think is when I had this, they had enough money, liquid cash assets in savings, to maintain their operating budget for something like 24 or 36 income-free months. Like, if they made no money, if they just stopped selling anything today.
Holy shit.
They could coast.
The entire
company? For several years, yeah.
Wow.
Like, their whole corporate headquarters could just coast. For several years, like, on savings.
No wonder they do shit like create this console that looks almost like another console, but...
Yeah, like, I mean, that's different. One of the reasons that Nintendo ain't dying anytime soon. Because they don't live or die on any of these things. They're like, oh, this is a flop. All right, back to R&D, guys.
That's interesting to me, because that's a different view of what you see when people are that, like, flush. Because sometimes people who are flush just keep doing the same thing. Like, but Nintendo's like... Let's live 10 years in the future instead of living right now and seeing what's the best.
And it's worked so well when it works.
Yeah.
That when it blows up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got a lot of, like, you know, like, protective barrier around.
Well, I mean, for every Virtual Boy they have, or for every Virtual, for, like, every Virtual Boy or GameCube, they have a Wii, right?
Well, and they're okay doing something like releasing a system, realizing that they didn't test it the right way sometimes, like with how it feels or how it looks, and then just really looking like, oh, another here, we version. Redesigned this, so here's the XL now. Version for adults, or like, here's the 3DS that doesn't make your hands feel like they're going to like die or fall off, or here's a Game Boy Advance that doesn't suck.
It helps that they have such a rabid fan base that people own all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helps that they're willing to, I mean, they'll experiment. They'll throw new shit out there, man, and I really respect that. I mean, other companies can do that. Microsoft can afford to do that because their game division isn't their main thing. They make most of their money in software licensing. But I think that's where it kills them,
actually, is that they're not really focused on their game division enough to be okay with these kind of drastic changes.
Like, that's the thing, is if you...
They're too safe. At least Microsoft is.
If you're, that's what's tricky, is because theoretically, if the Xbox division of Microsoft goes belly up, some heads roll, but the company doesn't go under, right?
Yeah.
So you'd think that that means they would be able to be more risky.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you that though Nintendo has that history, I know nowadays that video games are their main thing. Like, they have other shit, but if their video game division goes belly up, that company goes under.
And yet they keep taking these crazy risks on, like, their systems and not conforming to the generation archetype. And, it's, I don't know. It's
awesome, because I'm pretty sure Switches are still sold out, right?
I feel like every time we get to this part, no, actually, you can get Switches now because the April shipment is really big, big. So, every time we get to this part of the drive, we end up talking about Nintendo somehow. But
general reason, I mean, you know, it's solid.
I wanted to take a little time Nintendo, to talk about this, like, whole Szechuan sauce craze from the Rick and Morty episode. And so, like, if you haven't seen the April Fool's joke that was the season premiere of the actual season premiere of Rick and Morty season 3.
There's stuff going on that.
Okay, so there's a season 3 episode 1 out of Rick and Morty. Ostensibly. It's free to watch. You can go to the internet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly free?
That's allegedly the first episode.
So it's titled Rick and Morty S301 or whatever. So you can find it using the kind of, you know, nomenclature you'd use to find an episode of Rick and Morty that was the third episode.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it.
Third episode. But
I still think it's an April Fool's joke. But.
In the episode, it ends up being about... there's a really, really weird thing about this McDonald's Szechuan sauce and how...
Which they released as a promotional sauce for the movie Mulan.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember this.
The commercial I saw that was for the... I don't remember it either. And I actually, like, when Mulan came out, I was really excited because I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, me too. And I got one of the McDonald's around then. Like, I don't know why.
I could take him back to this, like, huge hit of nostalgia because I don't remember chicken nuggets coming in buckets, like, or the little stand-up thingies. Like, I don't know. It's just a different time.
Yeah.
But they're talking about, like, re-releasing it, or they're talking about how McDonald's may or may not actually try to work with the new live-action Mulan movie to re-release the Szechuan sauce because it was such a big, like, flash in the pan on Rick and Morty. Like,
well, I mean,
and I don't even know if I would flash
hop on them coattails,
right? I mean, and I thought that was interesting because I was like, I don't know if we've seen something like that before, where some show that has a lot of internet appeal causes such a, like, kerfuffle in, like, the social media space that a company takes enough notice to, like, be like, yeah, maybe we should actually, like, change our menu based off of it, right?
I think Rick and Morty is one of the biggest internet shows with mainstream appeal,
because
it's getting big, man. It's starting to grow. I'm meeting more people who are at least familiar with it, you know. And for being a weird internet show that became a weird Cartoon Network show, or a weird Adult Swim show, or whatever the fuck, it's got some legs on it, man. It's amazing.
And you start seeing, like, merchandise alongside with, like, Pokemon and all these other, like, Nintendo characters, and you see it alongside, and you're like, this show's only 3 years old.
Yeah.
And it's already got the recognition of these kind of big names.
And it's weird. It's a weird show. Like, I don't know how...
You wouldn't have expected that.
No.
Like, a year ago, when you saw the first season, you're like, this is a show like C-Lab 2020.
Yeah, it's going to have a little bit, it's going to have cult appeal. I'm going to love it. I'm going to have to explain it to everyone I meet. No, it's amazing.
But every time you end up showing to someone, they're like, that was great. Like, I need to keep watching the show.
But I've met more and more people that have already seen it.
Yeah. And well, nowadays, like,
shit.
You're right. It has some legs is the best way to refer to it.
Well, just like that, because I dressed up as Rick, right? And you dressed up as Morty. But I was at a party dressed as Rick, and someone showed up as Bird Person.
I remember
unrelated.
This,
we didn't know each other.
And you're just like, oh, hey, this is cool.
It's the best part is we both had big beards.
When you see another Ninja Turtle and you're
dressed up as Ninja, we both had huge beards.
So
like we were like, bearded bird person. burn person from the peer dimension.
And of course, all of the, like, fan theories on how, like, the end of season two is resolved is, like, probably wrong.
100%.
Like, it's like, you don't know.
I saw the clip. Someone sent me the clip. Of, I didn't realize they were airing it in a loop, so I actually had to go find it via other things. But someone sent me the clip of when he's sitting in the diner. It's like, don't you want to... And that concludes the story of how
Yeah, so I saw that first 5 minute or that first like 2 minute section too, and I was like, oh, that was like what
you fuckers. you don't want to hear about me doing my crazy mad scientist escape nonsense. That's just a bunch of bullshit. You know, it's like fuckers.
Nice. And I thought for a second they were actually going
to
do that.
I thought they were too. I was willing to accept that they were going to do it, which is what made it so good.
Exactly, because you're like, they would totally troll.
They would troll the fuck out of everybody. Like, of course he got out. I did like how, I mean, I loved the whole thing where they brought in, I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, but of course the Council of Ricks are going to intervene, which is the first time they've really done a callback like that, so, except for Bird Person, so I really liked that they brought that in, and I really kind of liked how Rick just crashed the galactic government, and basically retconned away.
Is it spoilers? Are we spoilers?
I mean, it's, okay. I guess we're spoiling it, I mean.
You should see it. I mean, we can.
It's been out for a while now.
Yeah, you're right, because it'll be like a month after. Or 2 months after, so yeah, okay, yeah, that was really cool. I was trying to, but yeah, that I was, it yeah, was I, like, I don't know, it was some kind of like weird reverse Die Hard like craziness that you're like, what? Wait, whoa, oh god! And yeah, now everything is
bad. Everything about it. I'm really curious to see if they commit to their massive character changes they just dropped on us.
Drove too fast for me to get the Pokestop, so I'm fighting now.
Should have said. I needed to slow down. But no, I'm wondering if they're going to commit to some of the character changes they just made, or if they're just going to let them ride.
But do you remember? So, oh no, we already talked about this. I don't remember what Szechuan sauce tasted like.
I don't remember the sauce at all.
I remember that a while, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, they had a, like, what was it, sweet chili sauce?
Yeah, that one was good.
Around the same time that the sweet chili Doritos came out or whatever, yeah, where you can get, spicy sweet Doritos. They're actually really good if you ever see the
I had to eat a bag chili. And a half before I could decide how I felt about them, but I ended up saying yes.
Yeah, they're a fantastic, it's very much a teriyaki kind of sweet and spicy taste, and so if you want a Dorito that doesn't taste very, Dorito, yeah, it's not like a...
It doesn't have a cheese.
It's not a Hispanic.
Wow.
Word, but that was like a Mexican flavor. Like, it's not like jalapeno spicy or you know...
Cheesy.
Like, cheesy kind of like Mexican food style flavor.
The only one that doesn't have cheese in it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And so, but anyway. I wonder if... Is that what it tasted like, I wonder?
I doubt that it tasted anything sauce? Like that, because that was a long time ago. It was like 20 years ago, so I bet it was probably...
No, but in if you don't want the teriyaki or a special one sauce to come back, then you should probably, you know...
I mean...
Go revolt for it anyway so we can all have it.
I would like to see it come back just because it'd be really funny to have that kind of power over a company.
And it's just weird that they timed it. I think, Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, if they were actually, trying to, start a campaign for this, pick the right time because there's a live-action Mulan movie coming soon. And they're like, they must have known that or something. I don't know. It seems too coincidental. Those guys are too smart.
Well, and they've done... They did that Arby's commercial once.
Yeah, that's right.
They, you know, they did the whole like, we gotta get the Nintendo DSs. Everyone gets a DS.
We watched some episodes of Rick and Morty the other day, and I remember he pulls out his DS in it, and yeah. I forgot about it. It was the Purge one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, I totally like.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, and the part where he talks about in one of and it was the Mr. Poopy Butthole episode. Where he talks about how they went to he's got the crazy rich quick scheme
where like you can buy
Nintendo them, give us money
they can buy like DSs for like 150 and then sell them for like 200 on eBay and then we'll even get enough to keep for ourselves
everyone gets a DS. That's like totally out of character for him, but yeah, so they're not above blatant product placement, and I like that they're not because
do you think Nintendo actually paid them to say that?
No, but I mean, okay. they'll place product if you want. If someone gave them money, they do it, right?
Probably.
And the best part is they would do it in a blatant, obvious way where it would work perfectly for them. You know, it wouldn't damage their credibility because they don't got none.
Well, that was our, you know, roundabout episode.
Of, yeah, we were supposed to talk about Ghost in the Shell, but...
we'll talk about it.
We'll talk eventually. About Ghost. Maybe we'll reorder
I feel... I don't know if Ghost in the Shell is going to merit an entire episode.
Maybe we already talked about Ghost in the Shell last week.
Timey-wimey.
Yeah. But all I don't know.
Bye, everyone.
I'm glad. I missed Sitsock.
You missed Sitsock?
I missed Sitsock.
We record every week.
Every week.